Hey y'all, I know it's been a minute since y'all saw our last episode.
All right then, well let's go. Insightful gang, what is up?
Welcome back. We are officially in the building.
Yes, I know it's been a minute. It's been like a month or so. So we're right back with a brand new episode for you all. Like we always tell y'all, come in, make sure y'all go ahead and hit that like, subscribe, go ahead and hit that notification button so that way you will never miss any of our episodes. And for any of our newer viewers or listeners that might be tuning in, allow us to introduce ourselves. I am your girl, Shaniquia, a.k.a. S.
And I am your girl, Lakeisha, a.k.a. L.
And together we are Insightful Conversations with SNL. So before we go ahead and get started with everything, let's just do a quick check-in. Lakeisha, how have you been? What have you been up to since our last episode?
Extremely, extremely, extremely busy. Just wrapped up our six-week summer residential component with 33 Upward Bound students. So for those of you all that are familiar with TRIO programs, and particularly Upward Bound programs, you know the summertime is the busiest time of the year for us. So to say the least, had some early mornings, some late nights on Florida
State University. There you go with that Marsha Ambrosia again.
Yes, honey. Yes, 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 yes. And although I love my kiddos, I'm glad that it's over. I'm glad that it's over. I finally get some me time to myself and things like that. So looking forward to our upcoming girls trip. Woo-hoo.
Yes, there is a girls trip happening at the end of the month. We're excited about that. Yes.
So other than that, like I said, it's just been good to kind of breathe. What about yourself, cuz?
Well, I cannot complain. I've been doing well, working hard, just enjoying my remainder of my summer that's left before fall semester starts back for our students in like 2 weeks. So, so about to be crunch time, get really busy again. So I'm just enjoying this time. But nonetheless, I'm doing well. Hey, I'm also excited about our upcoming trip, too. So.
Yay!
Yeah. Okay, well, we always like to start off our episodes with what we call
buzzworthy topics.
So, Lakeisha, what's been buzzworthy in your week?
I don't necessarily know if this is a buzzworthy topic, but what I would consider a buzzworthy talk as far as the workforce industry is concerned. As Shaniquia stated, for those of us who work in higher ed, we'll be starting back in the next week or so with our students coming back to campuses and things of that nature. But for those of you all that either work in pre-K through 12th grade, or you may have kids in pre-K through 12th grade, if you've been keeping up with the media lately, there is a severe, and when I say severe, I mean severe shortage of teachers. I was reading an article earlier this week that stated about 66% of teachers that have been polled around the United States at some point or another have thought about quitting their jobs. And it's for various reasons, not necessarily all of those reasons, are negative in nature. And things like that. Of course, compensation has been a huge talk, you know, when it comes to our educators. I feel like that's one of the hardest jobs out there when it comes to teaching our youth. And there are a lot of teachers, there's a lot of administrators that don't necessarily feel that they are compensated in the manner in which they should be compensated, along with feeling safe, you know, on school grounds with everything that's been happening within the last year or even the past several years or so, as far as like, you know, students bringing guns into schools, school shootings are still taking place, just even behaviors, you know, a lot of fights, a lot of riots and things of that nature. And it's just for some educators, it just has worn them down to the point that even teachers who might have considered retiring at a later stage are actually opting to retire early. And so there are states around the country that are trying to get creative in order to fill these vacancies. I know here in the state of Florida, I was reading that there is about 8,000 vacancies when it comes to teachers. And then there's about 6,000 vacancies when it just comes to staff in general that is needed to run the schools around here in the state of Florida. And so one of the big pushes and or initiatives that a lot of states are doing is that they're trying to reach out to military personnel, those who want to work in a civilian form. They are looking at ways to assist them with getting credentialed and things of that nature. I know part of being a teacher, because I taught for about 3 years, you know, one of the requirements is that you have to have a bachelor's degree. And some states are even looking at taking that particular requirement out of the equation, just so that they can get people in the classrooms. And so my heart goes out to educators, because like I said, I know that a lot of school systems have already started school and things of that nature. So just words of wisdom to both students and parents. Please be kind. Be kind to your teachers. If you can show them some sort of appreciation, it don't necessarily have to be anything that's tied to money, but just sometimes just saying, you know, thank you, I appreciate you, you know, we love you for all the work that you're doing, it really does go a long way. So for those of you all that are in need of jobs, and maybe you have considered the teaching profession, you may want to look around, you know, in your community, the state level, and even the federal level when it comes to getting a job, because like I said, there's plenty of vacancies that need to be filled. So this great resignation is affecting everybody. And like I said, we're starting to see more and more of it with the kids going back to school.
I was just about to say that about the great resignation. Like, this pandemic has caused a lot of that, because I think just people don't want to go back into the office, into work or whatever. They good with being at home and stuff, and being virtual, because I know, like, it can be difficult, especially, you know, used to really just being virtual, and then having to get back in this swing of things in person, and then we're still in the pandemic. I mean, we still, COVID is still, like, raging out there, and then you got monkeypox on top of that. So, I mean, it's out there, so... But I do agree with what you said, you know, be kind to the teachers, because they're stressed.
Yes.
I can only imagine.
Oh, yes. So what about you, cousin? What is buzzworthy in your neck of the woods?
Well, there were so many different things that I thought about talking about, but if I could just kind of limit it to just one, one thing that really stood out to me is the rapper, pop singer, whatever you want to call her, Doja Cat. For those who are familiar with Doja Cat, recently she took to her Instagram Live and she shaved her hair off, as well as her eyebrows. And that act, that behavior, got a lot of her fans and, you know, other celebrities very concerned about her. You know, So much to the point where she had to basically do her own live, basically kind of explaining her reason for why she decided to do it. And because she was saying that she got hit up by so many DMs and people was asking like, Doja, are you okay? And she was just like, huh? Like, yeah, like I'm fine or whatever. But her reason for doing it was because she said that she doesn't like having hair. And, you know, she just talked about how, you know, the hair and about how, you know, like whenever she would have to wear wigs and stuff and how it just took a lot to have to like put the wig under the hair and the wig cap and all that stuff like that. And she was just saying, you know, it didn't have anything to do with mental health reasons. It was just her not liking having hair and whatever have you. And she also had mentioned about how the behavior might seem a little concerning for people is because, you know, they're used to her being on the go a lot, you know, right, doing concerts, you know, video shoots, whatever have you. And, you know, a few months ago, she was supposed to do The Weeknd, you know, The Weeknd, the artist, The Weeknd. Yes. She was supposed to be on tour with him, but she ended up canceling the tour because she had a tonsillitis. And so she had her tonsils taken out. And so a lot of people was thinking that she was doing that because she just wanted some rest, that they don't really think nothing wrong with her tonsils. But she actually like showed a picture of her like in the hospital, like after the surgery or whatever. But anyway, so that's why a lot of people was concerned. And so it kind of got me thinking like, and I'm gonna ask you this question, Lakeisha, in terms of cutting your hair, like if someone decides to cut their hair, is that because of mental health reasons, you think? Or do you think some people just want to cut their hair just because, like Doja said, they don't like hair and they just want to let go of that baggage of having hair, if you will? So what do you think?
I think that it differs from person to person. So for some people, that definitely could be a cry for help when it comes to their mental status. But for some of us, and I can only speak for myself, because I too have cut my hair before. Like she said, you just get tired of hair. I think a lot of times when you think about just women in general and how you picture us and how we're visualized, you know, it's always, you know, with hair, whether that's short, it's in a bob, it's in a ponytail, it's pinned up in some shape, form, or fashion. And it gets draining you all, especially for those ladies out there that have like thicker and or coarser, you know, hair, depending upon what regions of the United States or just even in the world generally where you live at, it can make your routine just a little bit more, I won't necessarily say difficult, but it just becomes more maintenance. And as we get older, you know, we have more responsibilities going on in life. Like I said, some of us are taking care of elderly family members. Some of us are married. Some people have kids. Some people may be sick themselves. Some people maybe just be in the best of health. But like I said, it just takes a lot of time and effort to get your hair styled in whatever, you know, shape, form, or fashion you want it styled in. And so sometimes it just makes sense just to take some scissors. Or to take a razor blade and chop and screw your hair. I did it several years ago. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, just like Doja. Nothing was wrong with me. I was not crying out for help. I got tired of hair. And I liked, you know, once I had clipped it off and started shaping it up in the manner in which I did, I really, really liked, you know, how it looked. When I first showed my mother, she was shocked.
How short was it?
Like I really did a big short chop. Oh, I did a TWA. So a teeny weeny afro. Oh, I went short, short.
Okay.
I went short, short. So my hair was probably like up in here.
Why did but I never see that?
I never really showed anybody. Like I said, except my mom. Okay. Y'all know I'm wigalicious.
I never knew that.
Yeah. But like I said, I just got tired. Got tired of the hair maintenance. I got tired of two strand twisting. You got tired of flat ironing. Now you got to go to the beauty salon and pay all this money. So I'm just like, nobody got time for all it. Let me do what it is that I have to do. The good thing about it too, for a lot of us whose hair definitely may be damaged, once you cut it correctly, It actually ends up growing out not only faster, but more healthier as well. So it ends up being a win-win, you know, for all parties involved. So my hat's off to Doja Cat, because like I said, especially in the world that we live in and people are so critical and so subjective and everybody has an opinion about what this person does and or says, you know, for her to stand her ground and do what she did, and she's not wavering in why she did what she did. And she's able to explain, you know, the positioning. I don't see anything wrong with it. I think more women, to me, if you look around, I think more women are actually getting on board with, like I said, for some women, because like I said, it depends on how your face shaped and all that kind of stuff. So you got to figure out what works for you. Everybody can't rock a bald head. Everybody can't rock a teeny weeny afro. Everybody can't rock natural hair and things like that. But you do you at the end of the day. At the end of the day, as long as you feel beautiful and you know and you can stand in the position as to why you cut your hair in the manner that you did, I don't see absolutely nothing wrong with it.
And I second that. And I do appreciate Doja like explaining herself, even though I feel like technically she didn't really need to, because if she, you know, really just wanted to cut her hair just to cut her hair, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with it. That's a form of self-expression and there's nothing wrong with that. I think what probably had people mainly concerned about her is because it wasn't just her shaving her hair. It was the eyebrows, too. Because, you know, normally people don't really shave their eyebrows like that. Right. And so I think that that's what it was. And another thing that I forgot to mention that Doja had talked about on the live is that, you know, there was a time in her life where she had some dark moments or whatever, but she didn't really go into great detail about it. But she had talked about, you know, that she has been in, you know, a dark mental health space before, but that this wasn't it. She also reminded us about how she rose to fame. Because if you remember, Doja got famous off of that Move song.
Yeah.
You remember when she was just like, you know, I'm a cow.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And she was like, you know, I always do kind of stuff like this, you know.
She does.
You know, that's kind of out of the box or whatever, because she has that type of personality, you know, kind of goofy, very funny, you know, carefree or whatever. So she was just like, you know, y'all know I do stuff like this. So I'm not really sure where the concern is. She's like, if you're genuinely concerned about me, I appreciate it. But she was like, there's no need to worry.
Right.
So, but like you said, I don't necessarily feel like it has anything to do with mental health sometimes. I do feel like sometimes people just want to try something new. Yeah. And hair can create a lot of baggage and stuff. You know, kind of thinking about the movie Waiting Exhale.
Yes.
Angela Bassett's character, Bernadine, which is like, you know, wanting to cut her hair after, you know, her and her husband had, you know, got divorced or whatever. I mean, she might have had some, you know, other stuff going on that caused her want to do that. But, you know, the hair reminded her of that 11-year marriage. And she was just like, right. And she's just like, you know, I'm wanting to kind of start over. So I look at it like that. I've cut my hair a few times, not me personally cutting it, but you know, I've had a stylist who would cut it. And that's only because I wanted to try something new. And I've always been the type that, you know, did try different looks and stuff like that. So it's a form of expression. Let people live their life the way they want to live. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
And I think probably also with her doing it on live, especially those of us who are considered millennials, who grew up watching and wanted to be like Britney Spears, it probably brought back.
Yeah, it did. A lot of people were thinking about that.
Yeah, a lot of people were comparing her, you know, when Britney did it, you know, several years back. But each person is different, y'all. And we can't. I don't like the fact that we tend to always go to the left when things happen. Like we tend to think the worst, you know, about people. Cause like you stated, it may not necessarily be that. Sometimes y'all, it is what it is. I just got tired and I cut my hair. Right. No, you know, no more explanation.
Right. And I also think Doja would be the type that if something really was going on, I think she would share that because she seems to me the type that's very open, like an open book with her fans. Like even I know like a few months ago, or it might have been last year sometime, she talked about, I think she tweeted about being exhausted because of her work schedule. Yeah. So I feel like she would say something if she felt like there was something going on. But anyway. That's that. So let people live their life the way they
live
want to.
Live their best lives at that.
Yes. Yes. So do you have anything else
before we move on? Nothing else, cuz nothing else.
All right. Well, as always, we're about to move into the topic of discussion. And we call this Love Languages Part One. All right. So just to kind of give you a little backstory about this episode. This has actually been a topic that I've kind of wanted to talk about for a minute, and I'm glad that Lakeisha was on board and wanted to share in this discussion with me. But we just kind of want to talk a little bit about what love languages are, because some people may have heard the concept but not necessarily know where it derived from. So I had thought that it was actually around like the past 10 years. I mean, it's new, but it's not like as new. It's not as like new as I thought it was. Like it's actually much older. Like it was derived in the 90s. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Yes,
yeah.
I didn't even know that. Okay, so basically it's based off of a book, and the book is called The Five Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate, right? And it was written by this author. I think he's also a pastor, too. His name is Gary Chapman. And so basically, the five love languages, which we'll be talking about in this episode, he kind of came up with this idea. And basically what he was trying to say is the purpose of it was how to kind of receive and express love in relationships. And he was mainly talking about from like romantic relationships. But personally, I believe, and I know Keisha, you share in this sentiment too, that the concept of love languages can be used in any form of relationship. Like that's it can correct. Be used in friendships, you know, probably even with coworkers, whatever have you.
Even relationships like you have with your children or just either, you know, even loved ones.
Yeah, family. Yeah, yeah. So so that's just kind of a little bit of backstory for that. And like I said, there are five different types of love languages. And they are words of affirmation, physical touch, receiving gifts, quality time, and acts of service. Okay. And so what we're going to do is kind of talk a little bit about each of the different five love languages. Okay, and then we're also going to share which ones resonate with us individually. Okay, so I don't think these are in any particular order. So I guess we can kind of just start with which one we want.
Okay.
I guess I'll start off with words of affirmation. Okay. So basically what words of affirmation is, when you think of affirmation, you think of like uplifting, encouragement, or whatever. So that's exactly what it is. It's verbal communication that you would give to the person, partner, friendship, spouse, whatever have you. And it's just basically where you providing affirmation, you're really listening, you're really appreciating them. So you're basically talking with them, meeting their verbal needs, basically. And a lot of the ways that you can kind of do that is some people may write love letters. Some people may do like text messages where they're like, you know, I'm just thinking about you, whatever have you, like that. Some people might even write a card or whatever. And it's just basically something that just lets you know that I'm thinking about you, and it's encouragement or whatever. And so that one in particular does resonate with me, primarily because, and it could be because of the nature of the work that I do too, because I'm very big on wanting to uplift people and really give them, you know, encouragement, because life is hard. And, you know, we all go through things in life. And I know that I love to give that to people and I love to receive that. You know, nothing makes my day better as in someone that I really care about, you know, tells me, you know, like, you mean a lot to me, or, you know, I really appreciate when you did this for me or whatever have you, or good morning. I know I talked about that in one of our episodes. The ghosting episode where I talked about, you know, liking to receive good morning, beautiful text messages. And I think that just really resonates with me because I like it. And I love to feel like I'm being appreciated and I'm being thought about.
Right. I like it. And even like from a work stance, as you stated, Shaniquia, if you don't necessarily feel comfortable with giving somebody something tangible to let them know, like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you or thank you, like you stated, like a card or sending them a text and things like that, just telling somebody, you know, thank you. You know, for the awesome job, you know, you did. I appreciate, you know, you submitting, you know, X, Y, Z assignment on time and things like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be something big and extravagant. This big old speech that you got to put together. It's something more so that's heartfelt. And it could just be within that moment, you know, just letting a person know, how you feel. I wanted to kind of teeter back on what you said in the opening when you were describing love languages, because one thing that I wanted to point out, as you stated, it doesn't necessarily just only pertain to just romantic relationships. I think a lot of times in relationships in general, whether it's friendships, it's the relationship we have with our coworkers, our colleagues, our children, loved ones, so on and so forth. A lot of times I feel like we have a lot of dissonance, a lot of turmoil, a lot of chaos, because we're trying to love and or show people how we feel about them through our means or through our way of using our love language. And that may not necessarily be how they receive love. And so we've got to do a better job at reading the room, as some people say, and also getting to know individuals. And that requires a level of vulnerability, you know, as well. But just wanted to throw that in, that, you know, it's not about you necessarily loving them and showing them love the way that you want to. You have to figure out and find out what is their particular means and or expression that they like to receive and or give love as well.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so that is words of affirmation. So which one we want to talk about next?
You want to talk about quality time?
Sure. Okay, so quality time is just that, what it is, where you are spending time with your loved one, friend, partner, whatever have you. And it's uninterrupted.
Yes.
Focused on each other.
Yes.
Okay. You're really enjoying each other's company. Okay. And that one really resonates with me too. I think that's also one of my favorite ones.
Mine too.
My love language, because yes, it's good, you know, talking on the phone and all this, that texting, but it's something about actually being in your presence, really spending time with you, where we're taking, like, we're turning our phones off or putting them on vibrator, yes, silent or whatever. We're really just, you know, focusing on one another, turning off the computers, really just sitting and just being one with each other. Like, I mean, I love that. I'm more of a physical person anyway. Like, I love to see people face to face or whatever. And I just feel like nothing can beat that. You know, and it could be just the little things like us watching like a movie together or watching, you know, TV or spending time at a park or something. I mean, just something where I'm able to just really be in the person's presence that I care about and just sharing our innermost thoughts. Yes. You know, I mean, I know that might sound cheesy, but I really do like that. I really do like that.
And I think the key word, if you all didn't pick up anything else that Shaniqua mentioned, was uninterrupted and or, you know, time that's not disturbed, you know, because with all these things going on with social media, your phone, your mama calling, daddy calling, your significant other, children, like at some point you've got to take some time out, not only for yourselves, but for your partner as well. And so for some people, especially if we're talking about from a romantic sense where you do have children involved, especially if they're young kids, you all may have to sit down and actually plan out your quality time because you may not necessarily have that type of space, you know, in order to just do so, you know, clear soul out the blue. So that's why date nights are so important. Like Shaniqua, you know, like Shaniqua said, it does. Once again, a lot of this stuff has nothing to do with monetary value. Watching the movies, y'all are sitting, you're cuddling, you're walking around a park. Y'all could just people, you know, go to a mall and just people watch or just window shop, you know, that type of thing. But it's just the two of you, nobody else, no drama, no stress. You all just doing what it is that you do and getting to know each other more deeply and more intimately that you probably would not know. Like I said, especially given our hectic lives, because let's be honest, y'all, the majority of our lives, especially for those of us who work, is in the workforce. You spend more time with the people on your job than you do being around, you know, your family or your significant other. And so my thing is, if we can show up in our workspaces and, you know, we're bosses, you know, whether we are alpha males or alpha women or whatever you boss chicks, whatever you want to call yourself. My thing is you have to exert that same amount of energy into your relationships, whether they be platonic or romantic as well. And so that means sometimes, hey, you're going to have to leave a job a little bit early. You're going to have to turn over some tasks. If you have, you know, team members that are under you, some things that you can delegate to them, or if you don't, hey, get back to the task at a later date, because your partner deserves the best version of you. You deserve the best version of yourself. So we've got to start doing a better job when it comes to that particular love language, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I also agree with that. And I think that's also a good love language to kind of talk about together in terms of planning what you want to do in terms of the quality time. And one thing I wanted to add with that is making sure that it's not a lot of time that goes past without seeing each other, you know, like really being intentional. To me, when I think of this, when I think of it being intentional, and just really making sure that, okay, if we're going to see each other at this time, you know, we're going to stick to this. And, you know, I mean, we know that things come up from time to time, but really making a conscious effort to really be there for one another. And not, like I said, not making sure that a lot of time has passed in between.
I agree. I know in my last relationship, we were long distance. And one of the things that we talked about from the get-go is that we would never go a week without seeing each other. And so, like you said, both of us had to be intentional, whether he was coming to see me or I was going to South Florida to see him. And things like that. So you got to stick to your guns, because if not, that fire gonna start to wane. And there are people out there say, "Well, it can wane regardless." And you're absolutely correct. But once again, if that's a love language that one of the partners holds very near and dear, To me, just out of respect, you need to try your best, you know, to try to honor it.
Right. Okay. Very true. Very true. Okay, what we got next? You want to talk about acts of service? Or you want to save that one?
We can do acts of service.
Okay, because I know that's one that really means a lot to you.
Yes, 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 yes. So this particular love language is all about action. So if you are an individual or a person like myself, one of my mottos is actions speak louder than words. So I'm not necessarily, I like to get accolades, don't get me wrong. I love to be complimented and things like that, but I am more so, my thought process the majority of the time is the genuity behind it. You know, if you're going to say that you're going to do something, I'm going to hold you to that. Also, I'm a very busy person. For those of you know me, I'm a workaholic. I'm a career woman.
It's okay, though.
So I really, really enjoy when people come into my space. And once again, people that I'm comfortable with, people that know me, and are like, you know, Keisha, you know, let me do X, Y, and Z. Or a lot of times without me saying, I love somebody that shows initiative. You see something that needs to be done and you take that off of my plate. So whether that's cooking, that's cleaning, like I said, there's a task at work, maybe a calendar needs to be put together. And so you take that upon yourself to do it, or it's a project that you know that you can complete within the stipulations that have been set. And so you do so. And so, like I said, people like us, we're really big about action.
Mm-hmm.
It matters. It's not necessarily about the words, but with regards to what you do. And once again, it does not have to be anything big. Also, we're really big about the thought that goes behind the act. So not necessarily that you're doing something to get complimented or to get something in return, but you're truly doing it because you love us. You're truly doing it because, hey, I see a need, or I see that this person is stressed. So let me take this off of their off of their plate.
Right.
Or it don't necessarily have to be anything, you know, related to stress. It just could be, you know what? I just want to just do something, you know, for, once again, just to show my appreciation and things like that.
Right. And I think you brought up a great point about, you know, not doing it because, you know, you're fishing for compliments or whatever.
Right.
Really doing it because you want to do this. It does something for you personally to, you know, to help, you know, your loved one out or whatever. And just, it's all about, to me, just lightening the load, if you will.
Yes.
Like, whatever I can do to make your life a little bit easier,
yes,
a little bit better. You know, I mean, it could be like you said, just anything, you know,
anything.
Something simple as like, you know, cooking breakfast or whatever like that, or helping out with the chores or doing the dishes. Like, I mean, anything like that. And I will say this, I'm gonna add this.
Okay.
If you agreeing to do something for the person, make sure you follow through on doing that. Like, to me, that it would be my issue with this. It's like, you say, yeah, I'm gonna do this. Yeah, I got you. I'm gonna cook you dinner tomorrow night. I got you. And then some come up be like, I can't do it. Bae, I can't do it or whatever. Friend, you know, I can't do it or whatever. I'm just like, okay, well, to me, I feel like if you know that you are not able to do this, don't bring it up. Like, don't agree to do this. So, like, really follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Really follow through. That's just my big point.
Or if something comes up, like you stated, Shaniquia, where you cannot follow through, A, give me enough respect to provide me with an explanation. And then B, we grown. I do want a makeup. So I want you to make up whatever you said it is that you were going to do. Once again, if this is you just doing it just to be doing it, something totally different. But like you said, if it's coming out of your mouth, you coming to tell me this, I didn't ask for it. you said you was going to do X, Y, and Z, because we do know that life happens. So if life happens, you can't do whatever it is that you said that you was going to do. Man up, woman up, apologize, hope, put some accountability on your name, put some respect on mine. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, find another time, find another day, and honor to honor the initial request that you said. You treat people the way that you want to get treated.
Exactly, that part. Facts.
Facts, period.
Big, big facts. Hurts. Hurts. Like, no, seriously, because, I mean, I think people don't be realizing that sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't ask for this.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you said you was going to do this, so, you know. Because I know, like, I am a woman of my word. I'm a person of my word. So, like, if I'm going to tell you I'm going to do something, like, I'm going to do that. And if I can't, for whatever reason, I'm going to make it up. I'm going to reschedule this or whatever. Like, you, like it will get done. Because, like, I mean, it's just a matter of communicating.
Exactly.
Like, like you said, we get that life gets in the way things happen. But just communicate that.
Yeah.
Don't ghost. Okay, I'm sorry. I know this about love languages, but you know, I mean, it's just something about that. But anyway, okay, moving on. You had anything else you wanted to say about that?
Nothing else.
Okay, so we talked about words of affirmation. We talked about quality time, and we talked about acts of service. So we got two more. All right. So which one we want to do? Physical touch or receiving gifts?
Let's talk about receiving gifts.
Okay, so receiving gifts, what do we want to say about that?
I think for the most part, receiving gifts is self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. Kind of just like what we've hit on before. These are people that express their love, or they like people to show them love. When it comes to tangible, more objects, once again, it's not necessarily about the money behind the item. It's more so about the thought that was put into the gift. And so, for examples, I've seen things like at weddings, you know, maybe one of the partners, you know, family, you know, mom or dad passed. And so, you know, the husband or the wife may surprise their spouse with a token of something that reminds them of that loved one. As you stated before, I've seen people give cards to individuals and things of that nature, candles. A lot of women, even a lot of men, love candles and things of that nature. And it means very different things to different people. And so, like I stated, it's not about the money. It's about the symbolism behind the gift. So once again, when you are wanting to do something about expressing how you feel to somebody, just making sure that you're being genuine when you're giving them the gift, and really, really, really sit with yourself and process the meaning behind as to why you're getting them what it is that you're getting them. Even if you're not necessarily able to express that through words, they'll know it through the item that you've purchased or mm-hmm. that you've made for them. And they will be all the more happy because of it.
Yeah, right. So key word here is thoughtfulness. Okay.
Yeah.
Giving thoughtful gifts, something that's meaningful. And also, in terms of giving, if someone's giving you something, definitely make sure that you're expressing gratitude for it.
Yes.
That's another thing, because a lot of times, you know, people, you know, might want to give us things, but we don't necessarily say, like, we appreciate this or even thank you. So that goes along with this too, really being appreciative of what the person is doing for you. Because a lot of times, you know, we want people to treat us how, you know, they treat, you know, we treat us or whatever, how they treat us. But we also want to make sure that we got to be like appreciative of what they're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, like, they ain't going to want to keep doing that. You know, if they're feeling like that, they are not feeling like it really matters to you, if that makes sense. So reciprocity.
Yeah.
It's important
here too.
So, and just another thing I wanted to add about this, things that you might want to avoid with this. Yes. Making sure that, you know, if you are going to be like giving gifts or whatever, making sure you're not forgetting special occasions.
Oh, yes.
Okay. You know, like if it's an anniversary or it's birthday. Or holiday, you know, yeah. You know, I will say Valentine's Day, but I have a whole nother thing about it. I'm not going to talk about that, but I mean, but some people like receive gifts, yeah. You know, like on Valentine's Day. I just personally feel like you can do that year round. That's just my gripe with the whole Valentine's Day thing. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But I mean, just making sure that you're remembering those key things, because, you know, you don't want no conflict.
That's right.
So, you know, that's just kind of what remember about that.
Yeah. And last but certainly not least, probably most, I would say, misunderstood form of a love language is physical touch. And the reason why I say that is because I think a lot of times when we think of physical touch, so holding hands, kissing, caressing, hugging, cuddling, a lot of times we tend to go to the sexual context of things. But physical touch encompasses both sexual as well as non-sexual gestures. And so we want to be mindful of that as well. We've just given some examples of physical touch and ways that that person may want to receive that particular love language. Is there anything else, Shaniqua, you would like to add to it?
I would probably say, again, one of the things that y'all find with this, the themes are like communication, really communicating what feels good for you in terms of like physical touch. And also being mindful that you don't want to do like physical abuse either. You know, people might be like, okay, because you know, like, okay, like I'm doing this or whatever, but sometimes that can be a little bit too much, especially that's why you have to communicate like what feels good, what works.
Shaniqua, I also want to add on that. I'm glad that you brought that up. Physical touch, you all, also we need to think in the terms of being appropriate.
Yeah.
And consensual.
Mm-hmm.
So both parties have agreed when it comes to this, not one over the other.
Right.
Both of you all should have a say so and be in agreement with the hugging, the kissing, the caressing, or whatever level of intimacy that this is going to involve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, this one, I do like this love language, but it's not necessarily one of my favorites or whatever, because sometimes I don't necessarily like to be touched like that, you know, I mean, like it's nice or whatever. Like I don't mind like giving a hug or whatever,
right,
and stuff like that, or, you know, or a kiss and whatnot. But, you know, I'm all about space a lot of times. So
that's me as well.
So, but yeah, but I could see how this could be considered a love language to definitely make sure to consider in any type of relationship.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's all five of them, right?
That's all five.
Yeah. So what do we want to say about these? Like, is there anything else you feel like just kind of sticks out to you about any of these?
I think the main themes we have reiterated, communication is key. Communication is key. Communication is key. Learning to read the room and read the people that are around you. If you do not do a good job at that, asking, whether you ask that person outright or you ask people that have a good relationship with that individual, so that you can express how to show that person love. We stated that, you know, especially when it comes to physical touch, it's consensual, it's appropriate. This is just not about, you know, what you want and things of that nature. It's about two of you all coming to agreeance and things like that. As far as the other ones are concerned, quality time, like you said, just making time. And being intentional, that was the word that we said when we spoke a lot about that particular love language, being intentional, acts of service, action. So if you say you're going to do something, do it. And then if not, then make sure that, you know, you are prepared to make plans, you know, to make up for the shortcoming, if possible, you know, if it can be made up, and if it can't, then it can't, and things like that. So I think this was a good conversation. And like we stated before, this can be utilized on all fronts. Although a lot of times you do, when you do hear this, they're going to be talking about it from a romantic stance. But when it comes to communication, you all, we're never, ever going to get enough tidbits, enough education, enough knowledge about how to be more effective and efficient in the area of communication.
Right. And I feel like, you know, you and I, we talked about what our individual love languages are, but you know, everybody's love languages are different, and that's okay. And we're not here to sit here and say, oh, you need to do this or you need to do that. This need to be your love language. You do like what works best for you and that person that you are interacting with. You know what I'm saying? Which is the part of why we were talking about communication is important, because you have to know like what works best for the both of you all, because that's the only way you'll be able to really keep it going and be purposeful about keeping it going. You have to communicate.
Got to communicate
what you like, what you don't like, and things like that. So that's really important. So that's
if you all have not noticed, I know it's like Shaniqua and I stated before, it's been a minute since we've been on the air. But our theme this particular season has been relationships, all things relationships. And this particular topic dives more and more into that particular discussion, that particular discussion point. So once again, if it's relationship that you desire, whether with somebody of the opposite sex, you want to improve your work relationship, you want to be a better friend, a better mentor, so on and so forth. Like I said, we've got to find ways to do so. And we've got to be able to articulate those behaviors as well, because a lot of times, especially what I'm seeing in society, is all about me. And that's one sided. And you can't be in a relationship with anybody, whether it's platonic, it's work, it's intimate, being selfish. There's parts of you that have to die, and they have to die daily. So if you are in a relationship with someone, and you have communicated, you know, things, you know, about how to best treat you, how to love on you, how to improve things in your relationship. And it goes both ways. I don't want nobody to think that I'm being one side or anything like that. And that individual, you know, has not stepped up to the bat, or maybe they stepped up to the bat and then they've fallen off. You need to think twice about that relationship and whether or not you continue to move forward with that person, or it's time to let it go and do you, or move along to someone else.
Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to add, you know, because a lot of times, people may not necessarily have been taught certain things in terms of like love languages or whatever. And that's okay. That doesn't necessarily have to stop you from being able to communicate what works best for you and what you like. You know, we talk a lot about that here on our show about, you know, not necessarily feeling like you have to be a product of like where you came from or where you grew up. Like you are able to be able to make your own decisions and, you know, take, you know, what you've learned and what you didn't learn and utilize that, you know, moving forward as you, you know, get older and really, you know, get to know yourself on an individual level about, well, what is it that I feel like I need? Mm. You know what I'm saying? That I may not have necessarily gotten. You know, so I don't want people to feel like, well, I wasn't taught this. You know, I mean, you don't have to be taught right. a lot of times. You know, I mean, you know what works
exactly
for you. So I just wanted to add that part in there too.
I like that because I like that. And yeah. sometimes we've been taught, but we've been taught incorrectly. So now you got to yeah. unlearn mm-hmm. behaviors as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. Because like I said, I didn't even know about this concept until like recent years about love languages, you
Same
know?
Same here.
That's why I kind of thought that it was within the past 5 or 10 years, but I was like, wow, this is like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, okay. Well, but nonetheless, shout out to Gary Chapman for developing this and writing this book. I mean, I haven't read the book, so, but have you read it?
I have not read the book. I've taken, like I said, I've taken the quiz and not only from a romantic stance, there's variations of the quizzes in all different types of contexts. So I've done it from a professional stance. I've also done it from a platonic stance. So it's really, really neat just how things play out and how you'd learn more about yourself and more mm-hmm. about other people as well.
Yeah, you do. All right. Well, I think that concludes this part of the discussion of the episode. But as always, we like to end each episode with what we call an insightful moment. And basically, this could be something, some type of nugget that we like to leave with you. Whether it's a poem or song lyric, Bible scriptures, inspirational quotes, whatever have you. And so this episode is no different because we're going to leave you with something. We usually have submissions, but we didn't have any this week. And that's okay. So I had something that I wanted to share. And it's something that I'm sure a lot of you all have heard of. It's called the Serenity Prayer. You know, Serenity Prayer is kind of long, but there's that one stanza or whatever that's most common that everybody knows about. And just so you know, it's God grant me serenity to accept things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And in a way, this kind of relates to what we were talking about. Even though I wasn't trying to make it relate to this, I just honestly like this particular prayer because I think it can really be used in any context of life. Because I think a lot of times we do focus on stuff that we worry about a lot and we don't necessarily know. There are some things that we just can't change. Like we can't change people, you know, but what we can do is change how we let people, you know, how we respond to people or how we respond to certain situations. So that's why I wanted to share that. So I hope that you all were able to take that in, meditate on it, get something out of it and whatnot. Did you have anything you want to say for that?
You summed it up very beautifully, because
okay. And so in closing, we always want to prompt you and remind you to like and follow this podcast, Insightful Conversations with SNL, on Facebook and Instagram. Our username is at InsightComboWSL. And also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we are also available on all major podcast platforms as well. So if you prefer to listen like to us, like while you're driving or if you're at work, you know,
exercising,
yes, we do have that option available for you as well, where you can listen to us. So any way you can get to us, you know, watch us, listen to us, whatever, we really appreciate it. Okay. And if you have any insightful moments that you want to share with us, you can DM us, you know, or you can email us at insightfulconversation37@gmail.com. You know, we do check them.
Yes.
And so if you submit something, we will definitely give you a shout out right here on the podcast. So, yeah. So that's all I had about that. Anything in closing?
Nothing else in closing. Once again, thank you all for taking time out of your schedules to come join us on this evening. And we look forward to interacting and conversing with you all in the near future.
Yes, we do. We do. And also leave comments, y'all, on our YouTube channel. You know, like, let us know, like, what your love languages are and, like, what, you know, really resonates with you. We like reading them, so, yeah. So, and we promise the next time won't be as long when we do the next episode, because we're going to have something for you really soon, okay? All right, so there's nothing else. We hope that you have a great rest of your week.
Yes.
And until next time.
Till next time.
Peace.
Peace.